RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana Fus, the headlines. President Joko Widodo wants Jakarta to become World Syariah Financial Center. Vice President Yusuf Kala banks on Google's goodwill in tax issue. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has said Jakarta should aim to become the global Syariah financial center as Indonesia has the world's largest Muslim population. President Joko Widodo views that he had heard the effort to make Jakarta as the world Syariah financial center is being discussed by OJK. He pointed out that Indonesia has the potential and power. Why Indonesia does not use not only Syariah or financial services such as bank, insurance companies, it means many other things that can be developed, including Syariah travel and halal restaurants. President Joko Widodo stated that Indonesia should focus on its great market potential. On state Syariah-based bonds for the national state budget, the president viewed that the sense of budget is that it will be used for welfare of the people, meaning to eradicate poverty, reduce unemployment, and social inequality. Vice President Yusuf Kala said that he hopes the international technology fund Google would pay up advertising tax as its goodwill is involved. Multinational companies based in the United States and providing internet services in Indonesia have to pay this tax. Vice President Yusuf Kala said that Google is facing a legal case not only in Indonesia but also in other countries such as Ireland. He remarked that if there will be no Google, anyone will be angry because they will not be able to find information, but the company also gets advertisement business in Indonesia and must duty pay the advertisement taxes. On another occasion, Vice President Yusuf Kala said on Friday that Indonesia experiencing the global phenomenon of radicalization as shown by recent disclosure of bond terror in several regions. He remarked that this radicalization is a global phenomenon, but once again he reminds people that when they talk about radicalization, it must not be confined merely to bombs, where they happen and how many people die from them. No less important thing is why it happens in various activities, whether someone is at home or abroad. They often explain that terrorists emerge in many countries that suffer economic and political failures. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian police have announced that the situation in Indonesia is under control and is safe to celebrate Christmas and New Year's Eve despite recent failed bomb plots, which were aimed at creating fear among the public. National Police spokesman Martinus Tompul said on Friday that the police would maintain heightened security measures approaching Christmas and until the end of year in order to anticipate any threat, particularly of terrorism. The police will deploy personnel to secure churches, shopping centers, tourist spots, and any crowded venues all across the archipelago. He stated that police personnel throughout the country had communicated with church leaders to prepare detailed security plans to secure Christmas services. He further explained that the management of churches have also been involved in training provided by the police to anticipate bomb attacks. State-owned electricity company PT PLN said electricity used during the Christmas, New Year and holidays safe enough. Electricity peak consumption expected to drop by up to 18-24% compared to the electricity peak consumption in other days. Head of the PLN Corporate Communication Unit, Imade Supratika, said in the report on Saturday that on Christmas and New Year, industry which usually consume electricity in a big amount, such as offices and business centers, stopped operating. But they also said that the peak of electricity consumption during this year's Christmas Day is expected to drop by 18%, while New Year holiday, the peak consumption is projected to drop by 24%. The last item, thousands of people attended the 7th anniversary of the death of Indonesian 4th President Abdurrahman Wahid, locally called Gus Dur, at the former president's residence in Cianjur, South Jakarta on Friday afternoon. People flocked to Gus Dur residence since the afternoon to participate in the night's events, which included prayer, poetry reading, speeches, and the reading of commitment to peace and tolerance for the country. Security of the venue was also tightened, with the several police officers seen on patrol nearby. President Joko Widodo was scheduled to give a speech at the event. Several high-ranking officials in the government also were in attendance, including Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hagen Saifuddin, Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa, Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian. That's news of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various significant events that occurred this week have been reviewed by some of the leading media in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper. In its editorial on Thursday, December 22nd, the paper wrote on Mother's Day and national problems. Indonesia celebrated Mother's Day on December 22nd, 2016, with the same problems faced by women 88 years ago, when the Congress of Women was held in Yogyakarta. Different from the meaning of Mother's Day in other countries, Mother's Day in Indonesia is to celebrate women's political awareness about the plight of women under Dutch colonial government. At that time, they fought for the fate of the women who were left behind in education, also against trafficking of girls, child marriage, and violence against women. Meanwhile, according to Kompas, Indonesia now requires qualified men and women, human resources, to take off from the trap of middle-income country. To that end, the government has been campaigning for the prevention for early marriage to overcome low quality of human resources, low education, and violence against women. Additionally, President Joko Widodo has issued a regulation to improve the quality of the young generation in the form of protection of young people who are focused on sexual violence in regulation and lieu of law. According to Kompas, efforts made by the government should be followed by removing the child marriage as it relates to access to education and the elimination of violence against women. Thus, Indonesian women will not face the same plight as 88 years ago. Turning to Koran Tempo newspaper, in its editorial on Friday, December 23, it wrote, "Pancasila counteracts what?" President Joko Widodo's plan to form a presidential working unit on Pancasila ideology stabilization should be considered carefully, not in a hurry. The president may only concern over the proliferation of acts of intolerance, extremism, and radicalism lately, but stabilization of Pancasila is not a direct answer to the problem. According to Koran Tempo, instead of creating a new agency, the government should utilize various agencies and programs. The Daily also wrote, "Ideology stabilization is a long-term program to do with education and research. The government can run it without requiring a special unit, let alone at the ministerial level." According to Koran Tempo, the most important thing is to make sure that the values in it, such as democracy and tolerance, are applied in the daily work of ministries and government agencies. Let's end the press review with Business Indonesia newspaper, which is in its editorial on Friday, December 23, wrote, "Plenty of workers, minimal skills. Economic growth requires support in the industrial sector. Industrial growth requires the support of an appropriate labor supply, both in number and skills. Without a fitting supply, industrial growth may be hampered and in turn hamper economic growth. Currently, There is a gap in the recruitment of skilled labor faced by companies, especially in accordance with the competency of workers. Business Indonesia newspaper said the gap between the needs of industry with the supply of labor, especially related to education and the use of new technologies. The parties involved not only the Ministry of Labor, but also a variety of agencies and other relevant bodies. According to Business Indonesia, in addition to improving the quality of education, apprenticeship system, which is now starting to be driven by the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce in cooperation with the Ministry of Manpower, could be a solution. This daily expects the gap between the needs of industry and the supply of skilled labor can be annihilated. Well, listener, that was brief review of our RRIWO service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet you again in our daily program Today in History of our RRIWO service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While listener, we begin our program with an event that happened on December 24th, 1906, when regional outbreak Pesenden broadcast the first radio broadcasting from Brant Rock, United States. Regional outbreak Pesenden was an inventor who performed pioneering experiments in radio. U.S. physicist, engineer, and professor of physics, he has succeeded to make 500 inventions, among others, alternator, detector, heterodyne, photometer, and driving an electronic turbo for battleships. His career was begun to become a teacher and principal of school at Whitney Institute. During managing the school, he held trial in the field of electricity and chemistry. Then he moved to New York, and finally on 24th December 1906, Reginald Pesenden was able to broadcast the first radio broadcasting from Brant Rock, the United States. The next event was in 1974. Darwin, the capital city of Northern Territory, Australia, was almost wrecked by Tracy Typhoon. Australia was hit by many natural disasters. The natural disaster often happened unpredictably that causes casualties and destruction of homes. Darwin was destroyed by Tracy Typhoon on 24 December 1974. Tracy Typhoon was categorized a small disaster based on the world standard, but intense and caused big disaster. Tracy Typhoon killed 71 persons and the hit area needed 3 years to rebuild, and more than 2,500 houses were restored. And the last event was in 1994 when Air France Flight 8969 was hijacked. Air France Flight 8969 was an Air France flight that was hijacked on 24 December 1994 by the armed Islamic group GIA at Houari Boumediene Airport, Algiers, Algeria, where the terrorists murdered 3 passengers with the intention to blow up the plane over the Eiffel Tower in Paris, France. When the aircraft reached Marseille, the GIA, a counter-terror unit of the French National Gendarmerie, stormed the plane and killed all 4 hijackers. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRIWO Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, it's on visa-free policies to bring in foreign tourists. The target of 12 million tourist arrivals by 2016 will be exceeded in a press conference towards the end of 2016, which was held in Jakarta on Wednesday, 21st December. Indonesian Minister of Tourism Arief Yahya said that related to the number of tourist arrivals from January to October 2016, it reached more than 9.4 million foreign tourists, The minister is confident that until the end of December 2016, the target of 12 million foreign tourists will be exceeded. For 2017, the Indonesian government is targeting 15 million tourist arrivals. To reach the target, the Ministry of Tourism has a three-priority program to be implemented, namely digital tourism, homestay, and air connectivity. Minister Arif Yahya expects that in the second quarter of 2017, the tourism industry would all go digital. In connection with the homestay program, the tourism village development program will be resumed in 2017. This award is in order to support the accelerated development of 10 priority destinations known as New Bali, namely Toba Lake in North Sumatra, Tanjung Kelayang in Bangka Belitung, Tanjung Lesung in Banten, Thousand Islands in Jakarta, Borobudur in Central Java, Bromo Tengger Semeru in East Java, Mandalika in West Nusa Tenggara, Labuan Bajo on Flores, East Nusa Tenggara, Wakatobi in Southeast Sulawesi, and Morotai in Maluku. Meanwhile, to meet the target of 15 million foreign tourists in 2017, the Ministry of Tourism has set a 3A strategy, namely airlines, airport air navigation authorities, which began with a memorandum of understanding with Indonesian and foreign airline companies. Citing Compass Daily, Minister Arif Yahya revealed that the visa-free policy has become one of the mainstays to attract foreign tourists to Indonesia. According to him, the policy is to reduce the red tape, thus encouraging foreign tourists to come to Indonesia. Answering concerns about foreign workers disguised as tourists to take advantage of the visa-free policy, Minister Arif Yahya pointed out that the same policy has been in force in Malaysia and Singapore, but until now there has been no problem. Minister Arif Yahya stressed that visa-free means that the tourists will be exempted from paying the $35 for the processing of documents. However, all tourists still have to pass inspection and have their passport stamped. He explained that by exempting visas of tourists, the state is losing revenue of $35, but the policy is to encourage foreign tourists to come to Indonesia because of the convenience. He added that each of the foreign tourists who come to Indonesia spends about $1,200. That was Focus for today.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has said that Jakarta should aim to become the global Sharia financial center as Indonesia has the world's largest Muslim population. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said he hopes the international tech firm Google would pay up advertisement taxes if goodwill is involved. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said on Friday that Indonesia is experiencing the global phenomenon of radicalization as shown by recent disclosure of war terror in several regions. Indonesian police have announced that the situation in Indonesia is under control and is set to celebrate Christmas and New Year's Eve despite recent failed bomb plots which were aimed at creating fear among the public. State-owned electricity company PT PLN said electricity used during the Christmas, New Year and holidays is safe enough. Electricity peak consumption is expected to drop out by 18-24% compared to the electricity peak consumption in other days. Thousands of people attended the 7th anniversary of the death of Indonesian 4th President Abdurrahman Haid, locally called Gus Dur, at the former president residence in Ciganjur, South Jakarta, on Friday afternoon. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Dear heads and members of RRI Voice of Indonesia, I wish for all of you happy holidays, be healthy, and stay close to your loved ones, and try every time to look beyond the horizon of everyday life. I wish that the year 2016 will bring you new aspirations, new objectives, and as every beginning, fills your heart with hope for a little more happiness, prosperity, and other things that we think are good, positive. The beginning of the year is always special because whatever situation we find ourselves always make us go back to each other and to wish each other good and beautiful things. And every new beginning brings new opportunities for those who therefore dream more, to want harder, fight harder firstly, not less, to love more beautiful. Happy holidays and happy new year. With appreciation forever, Vicențiu Gheorghe from Romania.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again for our program Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, the fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we invite you to visit Sumba Island in the East Nusa Tenggara province. Stay tuned. Listener, in the past, the strength and ability of the martial arts was an essential asset to achieve victory over one's enemies, either during war or a small fight between two people. In Indonesia, there are many martial arts, and the martial arts that still exist in Indonesia and maintains its preservation is silat. On Sumba Island, there is a battle between men who are considered knights, whose annual tradition is called the Pasola Festival. The Pasola is a term for the Sumba language, originating from sola or hula, meaning a spear made from wood. Thus, Pasola is a game in which horsemen throw spears at each other. However, Pasola is not just a game. This festival is an important part of the rituals of Marapu tradition, the original religion of the Sumba people. When a correct time is decided upon, several hamlets in Sumba hold a Pasola traditional festival suitable with valid provisions and traditions. Listener, many of the Sumba people believe in this story, which is the origin of Pasola history. The story begins with this. In the past, there was a beautiful woman named Rabukaba. She had a husband named Umbu Ama. One day, her husband left her to go out to sea. Rabukama waited for a long time, but her husband never came home. After a while, she thought Umbu Ama has passed away, so she married Teda Gai Parona. However, Umbu Ama returned and he knew that his wife had married again. Rabukaba did not know and did not want to go back to Umbu Ama, so she asked Teda to pay balis, a kind of dowry which is given to the groom during marriage to a woman. After the balis was paid in cash, the villagers held Pasola to forget the battle. Listener, Listener, before Pasala can begin, a Nyale tradition is held. Nyale is a welcoming of the harvest and the appearance of sea worms. According to Sumba tradition, Pasala cannot be held without first holding the Nyale tradition. Pasala is held in a wide square. One group is made up of 100 participants. One person holds one spear which has a blunt tip and is thrown at the enemy. Although it is blunt, it is not rare for the spear to injure participants and cause casualties. But in line with the tradition and the beliefs of the Sumba people, blood which is shed to the ground is a tribute to the god of the earth who gave fertility to the soil of Sumba. Usually, the Pasala festival is watched by local people and tourists alike. If you are interested in witnessing the tradition, please come to Sumba Island in the East Nusa Tenggara province of Indonesia from February until March. And don't worry, hotels and transportation can be obtained easily. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring the Pasala Festival. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener of RRW Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, Miscellany. Listener, Indonesian First President Sukarno has ever reminded Indonesian people to not to be temperamental due to its simple procedure to make tempeh. Tempeh makes tap the soybean down, the prime material to make tempeh, spread away the water. By the word tempeh, it means Indonesian people should have pride of themselves and not to be oppressed by the other countries. As time goes by, tempeh is not considered as low-class food, and in regard to tempeh, today's miscellany will discuss about tempeh, which has been already famous in Europe. Listener, tempeh is made from fermentation of soybean. Tempeh is made by unique way. It was made by Central Java people for the first time and has been being consumed since 1700s. In Indonesia, tempeh is one of the healthy and high nutrition foods. However, lots of people consider tempeh as the food for low-class economy people. Otherwise, in some countries, tempeh is famous among them, especially for its unique nutrition, on which tempeh can be the solution for malnutrition for poor people and can anticipate for serious disease. Therefore, there is a huge chance that tempeh is claimed and admitted by other countries as their indigenous food. Indonesian government formed Indonesian Tempeh Movement, or ITM, in order to anticipate other countries' claim for tempeh. The movement is followed by various society levels and professions. They want to give new point of view about tempeh and to promote it in many ways, such as through workshop. On November 2016, Indonesian Tempe Movement, or ITM, cooperated with Indonesian Students Association in Oxford, London, to promote tempe by introducing workshop and how to make tempe in Oxford University, Oxford. Listener, Chairman of Indonesian Students Associations in Oxford, Sandoko Kosen, said that the workshop aims to increase people's awareness about tempe, which is the indigenous food from Indonesia. He further views that tempe is the solution for healthy food, delicious food, environmentally friendly food, and has cultural aspect. With its unique identity, tempe has international potential to be developed in food, health, art, and business. The idea to organize coaching and introducing how to make tempe was initiated by Amadeus Driando Ahnan, or familiarly called as Ando, the representative from ITM. He is also a doctoral student in food science at University Massachusetts Amherst. This workshop is a series of other activities such as international conference, publishing of tempe book, registering tempe as UNESCO Intangible Heritage, to the coaching for tempe business people at Cipinang Correction Institution, dropout students, and narcotics rehabilitation. By registering tempe as UNESCO Intangible Heritage, it hopes that it can make Indonesia people be happy. Besides, tempe can be consumed by all society levels. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today's edition. See you again in another interesting topic. Bye!
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
My friends, Christians in Indonesia and other parts of the world, I am the Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia, Federico Salas. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Muchas felicidades, Feliz Navidad y un muy próspero año nuevo. Terima kasih.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Federico World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduce you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Today's edition, we will present you an Indonesian vocal group, GAC. GAC is an initial name of this vocal group personnel, namely Gamaliel Tapiheru, Audrey Tapiheru, and Chantika Abigail. To initiate our program for today, we play a song from GAC with the title Ingin Butuh Saja or Just Want to Break Up. Enjoy the song!
Dan terulang lagi, kau sakiti aku yang tak percaya. Dan akhirnya kini hatiku tak ada sedikit pun rasa
yang tersisa. Daripada lama-lama ku jadi gila, baiknya cepat-cepat terpisah.
Cuma sehari
terus kembali.
Berkali kau janji
mau berubah malah semakin
Listener, we have just listened to a song from GSE with the title Ingin Putus Saja or Just Want to Break Up. This song is about someone who wants to break up from his or her couple because of getting broken heart too much. This song marked their debut in Indonesian music industry. The first composition of this vocal group is Gamal and Audrey. They uploaded their first music to YouTube, and a year later, Chantika also loved to make video and upload it to YouTube also. By chance, Chantika saw Gamal and Audrey's video on YouTube. Finally, Chantika joined with Gamal and Audrey, then GAC made their cover song entitled Just Dance, popularized by Lady Gaga. Unpredictably, a musical producer was interested in their cover song. Eventually, they released album, namely Gamaliel Audrey Chantika on 2012 and Stronger on 2015. One of their songs in Stronger album is Bahagia. Let's listen to Bahagia song. Enjoy the song.
Kita bahagia. bernama
Bet you gon' like this bit, baby, yeah, I'm sure Better make it right, watch the AC and you learn kita
Listener, we have just listened to Bahagia, sung by GAC. This song aims to persuade and to be grateful for what happened in this life. Through this song, GAC wants to convey for the listener to be braver and to do new things and do them happily. This song was created by them with their maximum effort when doing musical event in Sweden on March 2014. GAC collaborated with Sweden and British musician to create this single. On September 2016, GAC released their new song entitled Never Leave You. The song talks about long-distance relationship. GAC packed this song with high beat. The presence of GAC in Indonesian music industry brings new nuance. GAC present interesting songs with their vocal harmony, R&B music, and combination of English and Indonesia's lyric. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, let's listen to two songs from GAC entitled Never Leave You and Cinta. Enjoy the songs and see you again. Bye-bye.
GAC.
Memang kau tadi sisiku Memang kau jauh dariku Namun sama kau di hati Ku nantikan selalu kehadiranmu
I believe that we can work it out I believe that we can work it out I believe that we can work it out I believe that we can work it out
Berbaring di dalam kamar tidurku Menantikan selalu kabar darimu Melihat fotomu, yes it helps a little Tak berarti ku tak rindu kau keliru
hatiku.
Aku ini milikmu.
Of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
I'm not afraid to die.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.